Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Wow, I think I turned my volume way up. I was trying to be prepared, but I guess way up is better than nothing at all. Hello, my loves. I have to point out the elephant in the room. It has been really, really long. It's been a very long time since we've been to our normal last Tuesday of the month, and yet here we are. Also, if you are checking this out later on, the first last Tuesday of the month of 2024. We made it, more or less. But if you're watching this, you likely are not a ghost, so welcome. But if you are a ghost, welcome all the same. It is so wonderful to have you. And it's great to be back. I will say, we were talking in chat a second ago that it's hard to believe that we're at the end of January. And that being said, it's I find it kind of hard to believe that we are at the end of 2020, 2021, and 22, and 23. That's still just blowing my mind. But we are here nonetheless, and I am super glad to be back after a little bit of a hiatus. The end of the year does tend to get a little crazy, and unfortunately had some personal stuff going on. Lost some pets at the end of last year, which was a huge bummer. For everyone who knows me, you know that I have a number of pets, and they are my babies. So those are very important to me. But if you don't know me, hello and welcome. My name is Rocket Fox, and yeah, I am going to be bringing you on a little journey through the weird events of the month. Now that we're picking back up, we are going to be at the last Tuesday of the month, during which I will bring you the weird, strange, maybe a little sprinkle of unusual, little pinch of odd, if you will. But I do want to say, first and foremost, if you're checking us out on VOD, leave a comment. We would love to see what you think. If you are on live stream right now, I want to give the official hellos. Ice Bunny, as always, it is amazing to see you. I'm glad you get to be here tonight. Volpace, it is great to see you. Yes, our speaking of kings, speaking of Danish kings, queens, and royalty, our king of Cyber Nation Uncensored, Rob, it's good to see you too. So Ice Bunny, I see you asking when I normally stream. And so as of right now, I'm over on Trooper's channel. We on Fridays, and I'm starting to slow down as I say that because this coming Friday, we are not. But other than that, I'm over there Friday nights. We're playing Sandman, which is a game. It's a TTRPG from 1985. Apparently, Trooper, an amazing GM, brought it to our attention, and actually we started playing it for his streamversary, and it, when released, was a huge flop. So we got into playing it, and I've got to say, and I've said this every time we've had a session, I am shocked. I am shocked and amazed and surprised. It is really fun. Like, I think honestly the main problem was it was really ahead of its time, because it is very, I don't know that it was German, but it's very like very meta. It's based a lot in pop culture of the time, and it's very narratively based. There's like, you have to, it's not just like you roll some dice and throw some punches. You actually have to try and figure out the puzzle of various different things going on. And that wasn't kind of in the same flavor as a lot of the other games at the time. But now, like, had that been released now, I think it would like explode. I think it would be amazing, because it is amazing. But we're doing that on Fridays, and then, yeah, no, and Bolvis, you bring up an amazing point. It was not D&D, so it couldn't could be. And like, and I think at that time too, because it was such a new form, like, people didn't really know what to make of that sort of thing. Whereas now, there's a lot of like indie TTRPGs, a lot of different gaming styles. You've got your Fates, you've got your Apocalypse, you've got, you know, all of these. So it is online. You can get a hold of the gaming system online from somewhere. Somewhere. I wish I could tell you where, but hey, that's what Google is for. But it's a lot of fun. So we are playing through that. We ended up we're playing through the entire campaign. And then after that, we're gonna be back on for Travelers, Pirates of Drynax, which is another old one. Again, a contemporary of original D&D, and that's on Trooper's channel as well on Friday nights. Other than that, I'm here for the last Tuesday of the month, bringing you some strange and wild stuff. Cybernation of Sister Rob, I am going to be sending you some stuff. I do, and that did. It only slid to the side of my plate. It did not completely drop off. But I am going to be bringing another show that I'm going to be producing here. So hold on to your butts. Stay tuned. You may have your entire seat, but you will only need the edge. And that also goes for tonight. But yeah, so no other weekly streams as of right now yet, dot, dot, dot. But we are still at the beginning of the year, so. What may be coming, I don't know. yeah, and Volbase, I would love, like, Trooper needs to write his own stuff also, because an amazing GM. If you have not checked him out, definitely do it. Yeah. But without further ado, I have some stories for you for tonight. Listen. We are just at the end of January, and already there is some stuff going down. Now, since I have not brought you your monthly dose of weird for a few months right now, I actually am bringing a couple runners up from the end of 2023 that I could not help. They were so weird. They were so weird that I couldn't let them slip through these weird fingers. So that being said, let's jump in. Real quick, a trigger warning in case you have the arachnophobia or anything like that. The first story does pertain to spiders. So just know it as I switch over. You got a little sneak peek of it. And yes, no, and Ice Bunny, I do want to bring back Befriend though, because it's been a while since I've played through B52, classic NES. If you want to check out my channel, everybody, I've got some of them up back over there, I think. And Boltface, thank you so much. I'll tell you though, I am trying to I am hitting the gym again because I am a little healthier. In both the good ways and the not as good ways. So I love snacks. So anyway, but yes, here we go. So our first story we have. This is wild. We are living in the future. And I'm because of all the AI stuff going on. Yes, but what we have here. Scientists are reanimating spider corpses for research. So we're living in the future, and I don't think we're in the worst timeline, but we are in a fairly dark one, apparently. So Faye Yap and Daniel Preston are mechanical engineering PhD students at Preston's lab at Rice University. They co-authored a paper on reanimating spider corpses to create grippers. Or, yeah, I mean, you know a gripper. You go out and you see the claw machine that you get, you reaches down and you just boop. That's what they're doing with dead spiders. So you could win a tiny little prize, maybe, or a teeny tiny little stuffed animal. But they have dubbed the use of biotic materials for robotic parts as, get ready, necrobotics. Necrobotics. That, I think, you know, gets its own little mic drop. Spider drop. Sorry, spider drop. They're using it with spiders right now. And I guess because the legs are a little more like, if you think of the claw machine, that it does kind of look like a spider. But Ice Bunny, I do think that you could, like, probably use other insects for it too. Maybe you could get, like, a praying mantis grip or something like that. I think there are a lot of things that you could do with it, but necrobotics. I need to sit on that for a second, because it makes me angry, quite frankly. Like, and I'm gonna be very real with you right now. It makes me angry that until I got to that part of the article, I did not think of that myself. And I realize I'm losing the pun touch, and it's just gonna climb back on my game. I don't want you to worry. But yeah, so, and this is not the only time I've heard of necrobotics in using expired insects with some robotic components and things like that. But I think it's interesting in a way that will likely become horrifying in time. So we'll keep our eyes out for that. And speaking of death and murder and things of that nature, we're keeping it real light this month. Speaking of all of that, yeah, so our next story, also a runner-up from 2023, because this was one that I couldn't just let slip past us. It's pretty not great, but it is weird. And so I, in doing my due diligence, I needed to bring this to you. But yeah, the article was updated in November, kind of toward the beginning of November in 2023. But a Colorado funeral home, the owners were arrested following the discovery of 190 decaying bodies. So what happened, you see, was that apparently the owners were improperly storing the bodies. I'll let you know, the funeral home is called Return to Nature Funeral Home. It's one that I would likely try to avoid if they are, you know, not closed down. But the four felony charges that the owners were arrested and charged with were abuse of a corpse, seems pretty obvious, theft, money laundering, and forgery. So I think we realize now, like, I don't know if you've ever been out and about and you see, like, a little mom and pop run shop and they're never open, and you think to yourself, how much money is being laundered there? I'm pretty sure that this is that sort of a situation. Take that with a grain of salt. I know as much as I'm sharing, but I think likely they were improperly storing and not appropriately doing whatever needed to happen with these past individuals, because it was probably a front for money laundering. It's a lot. It's apparently about 30 miles south of Colorado Springs, and The cops went and searched it after they received a report of an, and I quote, abhorrent smell. What they found inside was horrific. And I'm only putting these quotes because they're actually quoted in the article. So I think those are the actual words that were used. And yeah, apparently the owners, the Halfords, were sued by a crematory that stopped doing business with them. And so I'm assuming that it was actually just the funeral home itself, and they didn't have like a cremation space on site. It would be something they would send away for. And the cremation place was like, no, no, we will not work with you anymore. So yeah, apparently they're in the process of identifying the victims. Apparently in total, 110 individuals have been identified using fingerprints, dental records, or medical hardware, and 25 of these individuals have been released back to their families, which seems like an absolute nightmare. Like, an absolute nightmare. I cannot even imagine. Like, you already go through the trauma and the grief of losing somebody, and then you get them back to lose them again? I don't know. Like, it takes a pretty, like, cold sort of thing going on to be able to do something like that, I feel like. And the things that you're putting people through with something like this is just, yeah, trauma, grief, expense. Oh my God, I hope these people get their money back. I don't even know if that's a part of the arrest situation, but like, I can't, because funerals are expensive. Funerals, things that go along with funerals, like caskets and all of that, very expensive, very expensive. Yeah, I'm seeing here Volpes 484, because I see that we also have Volpes Vox. I want to welcome everyone. But did mention apparently there was a big bust of one in Georgia a few years ago, which is a real shame. Like, how rancid of a person must you be to like take advantage of the death field? That's a big no. That gives a big thumbs down from me. But moving on to something that is a little lighter in topic content. A little bit lighter. Light enough that it actually rolls around. Yes, that is right. This is another throwback later on in November of 2023. A car-sized tumbleweed made quite the scene on a California highway. It was a giant tumbleweed, roughly the size of a Volkswagen Beetle, that just was rolling along a four-lane road in California. Definitely a traffic hazard. But I do love, and I pulled this one from NPR, I do love, whoever wrote this wrote, and I quote, hang on, let me see if I can get in a little NPR. The jaunty brown bundle of brush was captured on video and posted on Tuesday on X, formerly known as Twitter, where it has gathered a number of fans who have compared it to a giant hairball, belly lint gone wild, and the critters from the eponymously named 1986 sci-fi horror movie. So I think part of my favorite element of this is what people are calling it, a belly lint gone wild. I'm sorry, I don't know what people are doing with their belly buttons out there, but listen, this is something that has never, actually, let me, there we go. This is something that has never, like, not even close to this, has ever, like, emerged from my body. Yeah, like, if this is a situation happening, fix it. Just fix it. Don't let that happen in your belly button. That's no good. That's a problem. Yeah. So that is one of my favorites. I was on Reddit a bit ago, and I saw a video that some people posted of a tumbleweed rolling through, and I believe they were Australians who were in a tumbleweed location for the first time. and saw this tumbleweed pass by and were really stoked. And I have to say, I also have never seen a tumbleweed in real life. And were I to see one just kind of rolling by me, I too would be stoked. One day my dreams of encountering a real life tumbleweed will come to pass. It will be a real thing that happens. And going on to the lighter side, even still, and this next one is our last throwback from 2023, and then we're going to be skipping ahead to this month of 2024. But this last one, again, it was so weird and very cool, honestly, that I couldn't let it pass us by. So I show you this picture, and you may think to yourself, a lady having twins? Fox, Rockette, what is weird about that? This happens maybe not all of the time, but it's, you know, it's not so absurdly rare that it doesn't happen. Well, let me tell you. This story is out of Alabama, and this individual, whose name is Kelsey Hatcher, 32. So technically, yes, they are twins in that they were born at the same time. However, they were each born out of a different uterus because this individual has two uteri. I think uteri is the plural. Hatcher welcomed these two beautiful baby girls into the world. They are fraternal because not only did they come from different eggs, they came from different uteri. She birthed them in 2 days, which I guess is on par with how long it would take to deliver normal twins. Any twin people, feel free to get back with me or correct me on that. But apparently, whenever she was a teen, she was diagnosed with, it is called uterus didelphys. That may be being pronounced incorrectly, but that's how I'm saying it. meaning that she has two uteri, and apparently occurs in 0.3% of women. And she also has two cervixes. Think about that. And yeah, Vulpes does bring up a good point, as well as Ice Bunny, twice the periods, which would they be? I guess if she was able to get pregnant with these two babies at once, like, they'd probably be on the same cycle. Because if not, then you are getting two periods at two completely different times every month, and that sounds like a nightmare. Also, Shinobi, hello. It's wonderful to see you. She has had other babies before. These aren't her first children. Two uteri, uteruses, uterurers. It was interesting enough. And I want to quickly asterisk, this is my hand asterisk, and footnote that when I bring a story that I consider weird, that doesn't mean weird in a bad way. I'm weird. I love weird stuff. I mean, just a little unusual to what normally happens. But I thought this was way too weird just to not bring up and share. and that Ice Bunny brings up another good point too, though. In that case, if you are taking like birth control, do you need two? Do you need twice? And birth control affects your hormones, but do you have twice the hormone? I have a lot of questions as well that could probably easily be answered if I were to look up the answers. But I'm not going to right now because we have our next story to get to. We are taking it back just a little bit. And by back, I mean, we're going back to a little less cheerful, but we are moving in to January of 2024. So we are now current. Get ready. Hold on to your butts, because we got some things here. We got some stuff. So I laugh. This is not funny. I laugh because it's so absurd. So in Hatboro of, I think, Pennsylvania. Yes. So it's suburban to Philadelphia suburb. So there, a man has been accused of stabbing a neighbor to death over the neighbor's snoring. The neighbor was snoring very loudly. Apparently they had a connecting wall between their homes, and the snoring was thus that Christopher James Casey, who was 55, just had enough. He had enough. He was done. And he just apparently it's so crazy. I almost don't even know what to say to this. So, and it sounds like they also were having, they were not happy neighbors. There was no Fred Rogers happening in either of these situations. It sounds like they were both a little bit of a nightmare, dare I say. Not to speak ill of anyone who has passed, but apparently the neighbor, whose name was Robert Wallace, who was 62, had removed a screen from a window in Casey, the stabber's home, and opened the window as Casey was eating dinner. And they had a verbal confrontation. And it was this confrontation that during which the stabbing happened. So it seems like it wasn't necessarily like Casey coming over and stabbing him in the, oh, I almost said in the dead of night. Forgive. it was during a conflict, but he also had called the police on the neighbor numerous times for the loud snoring. And he does bring it up during his interview with the police. So, you know, and don't get me wrong. Like I've been around people who snore before. You get some earbuds, you get some sound cancelers. You don't put your bedroom in the room with the adjoining wall. I don't know there. It seems like there's a lot of ways to avoid this. None of which are stabbing. Stabbing should not be the resort. That seems like a lot. I'm glad they ended up being able to find him. Well, I don't even think he was running. I don't think it was a situation where he was trying to necessarily hide this, really. Like, he didn't call the cops when it happened, but once the cops came over and found things out, I think it was fairly straightforward. Again, I am gleaning what I know from these articles that I see. If it didn't happen exactly that way, but at least at the very least, we are moving on to something a little bit lighter. Sometimes we talk about people who commit crimes. We talk about people who may have be a little loose on the morals, if you will. But we are about to speak of a legend. And so this is from the beginning of this month. This happened in Leeds, Alabama. A man crashed his car outside a Bass Pro Shop, and then he stripped down to the nude, and then he did a cannonball into the giant aquarium inside the store. It happened on a Thursday night. Shoppers were there. The store was full. And he just crashed the car, just ripped the clothes off. He's a 42-year-old Alabama man. He did a cannonball leap into the aquarium and then stood under a waterfall. Apparently, the process of what happened here was that when the police arrived, as I'm pretty sure they probably would have very quickly, apparently he left the water briefly to yell at the two officers and then dove back into the aquarium. Eventually he did climb out over the side of the aquarium and fell to the concrete floor below, after which he was apprehended. Apparently, he was in the water for about 5 minutes before the officers arrived. 5 minutes arrival time. That's pretty prompt. That's pretty quick. And, you know, I guess in a situation like that, maybe it ranks higher tier on the importance list. But I realize actions like this are probably the result of some sort of, like, inebriation or maybe being on a substance that just kind of alters your mind a little bit. Or you let the intrusive thoughts win and you live your best day ever. Because who among us hasn't thought about doing a cannonball into one of those aquariums? Am I right? I have not been into one, like, into a Bass Pro Shop probably in about, like, 15 years or so, but I remember the aquariums in there, and I feel like there would be something satisfying about just like right in. But that's, see, so Vulpes, you bring up a good point, because as I said that, my mind started to crank back to those times when I had, you know, back when, whenever I had gone into a Bass Pro Shop, and I was like, wait a minute, there's fish in there. That's, it's not just like an empty aquarium with nothing in. There's animals in there, like big ones, like sizable fish, right? Which I guess maybe the cannonball was profound enough that it disturbed their natural just hanging out pattern, you know. But like, I feel like you are taking a gamble on going in there naked, especially dudes, if you know what I'm saying, just like, we'll leave it at that. do you have the Ice Bunny asks, do you have the outsiders place all swamp water? So the picture being used on this, Bass Pro Shops Outdoor World, I'm not sure what Outdoor World is. Like, I've been in a Bass Pro Shop, which, for anyone who's unfamiliar, with the regular Bass Pro Shops, they're like these huge, just like gargantuan sized stores that, apparently it's just the name of the store. So Bass Pro Shop Outdoor World, it's all part of the same name, but they're these gargantuan stores that have a lot of like outdoor stuff, camping gear, fishing stuff. They probably have guns there, I don't know. But then they also have, like, they'll have a big, I think all of them have a pretty big aquarium with, like, you know, river fish and stuff in there. And then they'll have big, like, taxidermied animals around and things like that. Like, it's a journey, right? Like, it is something to see. but it's, yeah, that this journey is quite a bit. and it's like super, and honestly, like Vulpes, a lot of the supermarkets I go to that are local to me, I guess there's a difference between just a grocery store and a supermarket. Either way, it's huge. So speaking of companies that may or not be known, it's a little spicy. It's a little spicy, but not in the nudity kind of way. this was at the beginning of January as well, only a few days away from the Bass Pro Shop incident. So I don't know, maybe some sort of something happening. This one is in Orlando, so it is in Florida. It's not gonna make you hate Dunkin' necessarily. But maybe just be careful, right? Maybe it'll stir you to be a little cautious. So when this happened, a negligence lawsuit was filed against a local Dunkin' Donut by an individual, a customer, who said that they were injured by an exploding toilet. So the individual, the customer's name is Paul Kerouac, who is suing for more than $100,000, claiming that he's, and I say claiming because the article says claiming, I'm not necessarily here to doubt this man's exploding toilet experience. But He says he suffered, quote, severe and long-term injuries following the explosion of a toilet in the men's room in a Dunkin' in Winter Park, Florida. Oh, no. Evidently, after the explosion, I don't know if I need to give a warning on this, but this is about an exploding toilet, so proceed with caution. After the explosion, he left covered in human feces, urine, and debris as he walked out of the men's room seeking help from workers. And apparently, an employee said they had been aware of the, quote, problem with the toilet since there had been previous incidents. I'm sorry, is an exploding toilet like along the lines of just like a regular maintenance issue? Like, what? I have some questions. Like, I realize that, like, if you are living out in a place where you have like a compost, and I have a compost bucket in the backyard and mostly have leaves and things like that. But like, I mean more if you're dealing with like compost of the more organic and butt variety, that there can be, and I'm only pulling this from peripheral knowledge, but there can be like a possibility, a threat, if you will, of a little bit of an explosive methane, right? Like, how would that happen at like a retail toilet though? So Ice Bunny, if you listen, if the only the chili was extra hot, yeah, it's, I am not sure how this would happen naturally. Naturally, but new fear unlocked when it comes to the restrooms anywhere. Because keep in mind, as a dude, you can go in the restroom, use the urinal, walk in, walk out, that's it. For the ladies, and anyone who's using the ladies' restroom, they, thems included, like, you are always using the sit-down potty. I don't need that to explode under my butt. yeah, and that's, Volpez, that's what I'm thinking too. Like, there had to have been like a major sewer issue, I feel like doesn't even appropriately cover how major it would have to be. You know, unless like right before this guy walked in, some obnoxious, like horrific individual just like chucked just chuck something down there to explode, like a timed explosive device in the toilet? I don't know. But yeah, it's a lot, but just be aware. Like, you don't just have to worry about like snakes and spiders. You also have to worry about explosions, evidently. And something else to worry about as well. As we are living in a modern time, 2024, folks. Science and technology has come a long way, and some of that has been really positive, right? And even the things that were used in this next story about using DNA to tackle the scourge of a dog mess on the streets. That's right. This happened in Italy, in Rome, actually, I believe. They're creating a dog DNA base. So that when dogs poo on the street, they will be able to collect the abandoned poop. Abandoned, that is the word they use, the abandoned poop. Have it genetically tested and then trace it to the owner, who will then face a fine of 50 to 500 euros. And any owner who refuses to DNA profile their dog, because, you know, one of my first thoughts on this was like, yeah, you can take DNA of the poop, but like, if you have nothing to match it to, any owner who refuses to DNA profile their dog will face a fine of 292 to 1048 euros. So they are cracking down on the poop. And now with where we are with DNA, that apparently it's easy enough to do that you can do it with the poops and such. which, I mean, is a thing that was able to be done, but yeah, that's just be careful out there. Be careful out there. If you are having a doggy and walking them in Rome and then letting them poop on the road, sidewalk, whatever, and refusing to pick it up, which you should, I mean, that's kind of a shitty thing to do anyway. Yeah, just pick up your dog poops. Like, come on, people. This is not hard. And next up, we are moving into our animal section. This one is less poop-based, but this one happens in Canada and is maybe one of my favorite stories. So, a kangaroo escaped its handlers during transport to wherever it was going, and it was east of Toronto. And as it escaped, there were officers who came to wrangle the roo and then put it back into whatever transport it had, that was going to take it wherever. And so it's a female kangaroo who remains unnamed, but apparently she hopped over her handlers, and as she was trying to be wrangled, the officers spotted the kangaroo around 3 a.m. on a Monday, and they went over to collect, and you know, and they did all the right things, right? They saw the kangaroo, they contacted our handlers and were like, hey, what's the best way? Like, do we just headlock her, or what's going on? And they were instructed to grab the kangaroo by the tail. Cool. And when they did that, the kangaroo punched one of the officers in the face. So now the kangaroo is a felon and it has a record. So also, Dr. Squiggums, hello. But the fun part, fun for me anyway, is that I do have a video of this. So let's get this rolling. So here we go. We can see the kangaroo over here. Just hopping all along. Look at her go. Oh, they got a big net. They're going to catch her in the big net. That's exciting. I cannot believe that, and we all know that kangaroos are natural boxers, right? Like, they get real buff, they got that upper body strength as well as lower body strength, like, they're ready to put someone down. And to be fair, also, this is a very small, it says she's a female, I don't know if they don't get as big as the males do, but yeah, so this is not my favorite story because I'm advocating punching a cop in the face. Please do not do that. Do not especially say that I ever said anything about how that's a thing to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if a kangaroo does it, and the kangaroo's little too, right? I mean, she's so little. You know, it's probably like a love punch. She was probably just like reaching out to touch face, you know, and they misunderstood because she was on the move. But I think it's so funny. So, speaking of Australian things, just hashtag just Australian things. Real quick, Volpes does point out, better that she punched them and not kicked them. Agreed, because those things can tear you up. Another really quick Spidey warning, for anyone who doesn't like the Spideys, It's not video, but you're about to see one. So what do we have here? This is in, you guessed it, Australia. Because where else would it be? They have now identified the largest male specimen of the world's most venomous spider. It has found a new home at the Australian Reptile Park, where... don't think this is a bad guy, because this is a hero, where this spider will help save lives after a member of the public discovered it by chance. So it is a funnel web spider. This particular one has been named Hercules, because he's strong. It was found on the central coast, about 50 miles north of Sydney, and at first was given to a local hospital. And then spider experts rushed over because they heard about it and realized on seeing some footage that it was the largest specimen, male specimen, ever received from the public in Australia. It measures about 3.1 inches or 7.9 centimeters from foot to foot. It surpasses the previous record holder from 2020 or from 2018, sorry. The previous record holder's name was Colossus. But this is Hercules, and Hercules is bigger. And so the Hercules will contribute to the Reptile Park's anti-venom program. And so what they do is that's when they take the fangs and they get the venom out of the fangs, and then they use that to create anti-venom, in case anyone gets, you know. So that's cool. And like, again, unsurprised, just because everything is big and dangerous in Australia. I think we all know that. But, you know, I always think, when I think of spiders in Australia, of the humble hunter, huntsman. There it is, the huntsman spider. I said hunter and I was like, almost there, didn't quite make it. But the huntsman spider, which big old massive guy, but like they don't really mess with people, even though they do come in the house, so that could be messing with you just by being there. But you know, I mean, it's like a lot of house spiders, they kind of just take care of pests and things like that. Although I had discovered a picture at one time, I didn't put it up on this, but somebody took a picture and posted it of a huntsman spider on the wall. And they like, I guess they lifted one of its legs up and they stuck a piece of bacon under it. So it's a huntsman spider on the wall holding a piece of bacon. Yeah, epic. So, but as to this, thank you, Hercules, for all of the work you are going to be doing in the anti-venom program. Probably can save a lot of lives. So that's pretty cool. Next up, yeah. Speaking of Australian things, Ice Bunny does bring up a good point. Do not touch koalas. They all have chlamydia. So our next story, this is an uplifting one as well. So this is was only posted, I think, yesterday. Yeah. So marine researchers in California, for the very first time, caught, well, not caught, like not caught caught, but caught, video caught, a newborn great white shark on camera. And so it was a wildlife filmmaker and Riverside biology doctoral student, Philip Stearns, was in the waters near Santa Barbara and was, I guess, just flying a drone around and then caught footage of the 5-foot-long shark pup. And then apparently, other than the fact that it is smaller, 5 feet is still huge, but compared to a lot of great whites, that is a lot smaller. But also, unlike the adults, the pup is entirely white, whereas the adults are white on the bottom and gray on top. So, excitingly, we have this on video as well. So let me get this. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, there he is. Look at that. And it's so wild too, because even looking at this, like that little face right there, that looks like a little baby shark face. Look at that. Look at that cute little, you, it makes you want to boop it. You just want to boop that snoot. Just boop right on there. But it's really cool. It's the very first newborn, and I don't, I'm sure they have a way of assessing how old it is, like whether or not it literally just swum out of mom, or it's been swimming around for a few days or whatnot, but first time being caught on film is pretty fantastic. Yeah, that's pretty amazing, I think. And so that, I think, is really some of the amazing stuff that can happen with where technology is going. And you know, I think people are able to get amazing things with drone footage and stuff like that. But speaking of things that you can do We are, my loves, getting close to February, day after tomorrow, start of February. And you know what February is? It is time to spite all of your exes. And you too can send the perfect Valentine or anti-Valentine gift. I brought this up last year, and it is still going on. That is correct. A lot of zoos are offering you, yes, you, the opportunity to name roaches that get fed to other animals. And what you can do is what happens. And this one is specifically with the Bronx Zoo, which has been doing this for a long time. What you can do is you can pay to have a Madagascar hissing cockroach. And that is not the, this picture I found is just a cockroach picture. This, I don't believe it's a Madagascar hissing cockroach. But you can pay to name one of these beauties, probably an ex's name or something like that. Or Valentine, if that's your jam. And then they will feed it to another zoo animal, such as reptiles of various kinds. Let's see, you can, well, and like, and here's the thing too. Oh, Val, hello, good to see you. But yeah, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be an ex or anything like that. I think we all know or have crossed people who maybe deserve to have a cockroach named after them. I'm seeing here, though, from Vulpes Fox that there is kind of a dark history behind that. If you know it offhand, I'd be very curious. But yeah, there are other Valentine gift packages that the Bronx Zoo offers, including you can get roach socks, stuffed roaches, and a virtual roach encounter. And then, so another zoo, the San Antonio Zoo, has its, quote, Cry Me a Cockroach fundraiser. Don't come at me, Justin Timberlake. So this program allows you to pay to have a roach, rat, or vegetable named for an ex-lover before the chosen recipient of the moniker is fed to another zoo animal. The San Antonio Zoo also offers a candle that bears the scent of hippo poop as a potential Valentine gift for that special someone. So apparently the dark history could be potentially triggering, so we're going to get that information off air and then possibly share it later. But regardless, there are a variety of things you can give the person who has everything that you want to give something just a little worse. And in addition to these thoughtful gifts, another gift that you can give, and this is the first year I've seen this one, so people are really on the ball with it. That is right. You too can have a jilted lover or ex-friend or pretty much anyone you want. You can have the name of whomever it is you want buried in kitty litter at a Rhode Island animal shelter. It's the Rhode Island Society for the Prevention and Cruelty of Animals. It's the Love Stinks promotion, and it allows people to get some sweet and stinky revenge. So for $5, you donate $5 and they will write the name of whomever and bury it in a litter box for the shelter cats to poop all over. And the fundraiser runs through Valentine's Day. I do want to say this. You can donate to this animal shelter. You could probably donate to a local animal shelter closer to you as well. And I guarantee you, if you waltz in there and you say, hey, I want to donate X amount of money, here's a little paper strip with somebody's name, can you just stick that in the litter box? I'm pretty sure they'd probably do it for you. Honestly, like, Vulpes 484 brings up a good point that you could potentially do it yourself too. Like, I have five litter boxes. I have five litter boxes downstairs for only three cats. So I could put so many names in there. I was gonna say, if you would like to make a donation to me to put somebody's name in a litter box, I would be happy to do it for you. You know, I might even do it for free. you could write, oh, see, Rob brings up a good point. You could write the names on your own toilet paper and literally wipe your butt with this person's name anyway. But I mean, the sentiment is there, right? You know, I feel like if we get creative with it, right, there's a lot of things that we can really, you can really lean into to really put someone's name in a really unpleasant place. Maybe your tum's feeling a little rumbly. Maybe you just had that chili from last week. And, you know, just take a minute, not even a minute, right? It takes a couple seconds. Write down somebody's name, chuck that in the toilet, and then just do what it is that you need to do. Just whatever it is you need to do. And that, you know what? It's free. It's a free way to do it. So I encourage everyone this Valentine's season to at least poop on one name. There, I said it. I'm balls in your court. I'm putting that challenge out there. I think all of us deserve to poop on one person's name this Valentine's Day. And I leave you with that. Thank you so much. So much for joining me. It is so good to be back. I am so excited to be here. It is so good to see all of you, to chat, to have your input, to share these wild stories as we get further into the year. I know that even more bizarre stuff is going to be happening. It's going to be great. I'm going to be back. I'm going to be once again bringing you another show that I will be producing. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, make sure, if you have not before, make sure you follow CyberNation Uncensored, because there are shows going on all the time that are awesome. There's a live play, things of that nature. The Discord is right around the corner, and there are a ton of people on there, a lot of fun stuff happening. If you would like to follow me, I do have a Twitch channel, which I haven't been on for a while, but a lot of the stuff that I do does get cross-notified over there. Right now, again, I am mostly playing Friday nights over on Trooper SJP's channel for some live play of some vintage games. Otherwise, you can find me on the other socials. I'm posting a lot of my cats, of makeup stuff, of some crafty things, of my cats. and you know what? Maybe I'll post of putting somebody's name in the litter box, you know, and nobody specific. There's nobody I'm like needing whose name I'm needing put in right now, but like, you know, I probably think back, I probably come up with something. but yeah. So, thank you again. It is a pleasure and a joy as always. And I will come on in. I'll leave you with this. Do something nice for yourself. Treat yourself to something nice. Be nice to yourself. And I encourage you at least once in the days we have left for this week, pick something and do it for yourself. Even if it's random, even if it's absurd, do something for yourself because you deserve it. You deserve to be treat nice and to have nice things happen. So show yourself some love and make sure to poop on a name before Valentine's Day. Do it for yourself. Do it for me. Do it for the collective, all of us. And with that, I look forward to seeing you next time. Come back again at the end of next month, where I'm sure there will be some scorned stories that come up. I don't know of any offhand, but I guarantee there will be some in February. So join me again then. And until then, I look forward to seeing you.